If you had to list who your favorite school teacher was growing up, who would you list? You don't have to shout it out because most of us would not know their names. But how many of you in those 12 or 13 or however many years, 11 it took you to finish school, how many of you say, hey, I had a favorite teacher? Just raise your hand. I'm not going to ask you to call out their name. I had a favorite teacher. Good. Now, I'm not prodding, but I wonder why that teacher was your favorite. And I'm just wondering, maybe you were their pet. Maybe they were just really nice to you, and because they were really nice to you, you liked them. What I'm wondering, how many of you who say, I had a favorite teacher, it was Miss or Mr. So-and-so in whatever grade. If they were hard on you. They didn't let you by with anything. They were hard as nails on you. And you say, yeah, woo, that was my favorite. Because, Neil Jackson, most of us, I would say, we like the teachers that are easy on us. Oh, yeah, they love us. And yeah, they encourage us. And yeah, they teach us some stuff. We don't like those hard teachers. Don't like those mean teachers. Don't like those by-the-book teachers. We like the mercy teachers, right? Yeah, can I get a witness out here? Come to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Paul says this. The best teacher I ever had in life was suffering. And suffering is not easy. Suffering is not fun. Suffering is not enjoyable. But Paul says, the greatest teacher I ever had was suffering. He said, how could he say that? You're in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I want you to look up at verse 8. And I just want to give you the context so you could understand the context. And then he's going to go down and he's going to show how he made suffering such a wonderful teacher. So look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8. We're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Trouble there speaks of grapes in a wine press and being crushed. Perplexed, it's a narrow, tight place with seeming no way out. So I'm caught in this trap, and I can't get out of it. Look at verse 9. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Speaks of being hunted down, like a hunter hunts his prey. Adversity and affliction just kept coming after Paul, coming after Paul. Last part of the verse. Cast down, but not destroyed. Thrown down. Struck down, beaten to the earth, being a victim of a mob that was pounding him to the ground. That's what he's saying. Verse 10. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be manifest in our body. He's talking about being delivered into the death of Christ. He knew how to endure the worst of situations and make them beautiful. And that's what he's going to teach us today. How do we defeat difficulty and make suffering and make difficulty beneficial in our lives? Now, here's what you need to know. Job chapter 5, verse 7 says, yea, man is born into trouble as the sparks fly upward. So you're going to suffer. So if you had the best year ever or the worst year ever, here's what I know about the coming year. You're going to experience suffering. You're going to experience difficulty. You're going to experience heartache. Jesus said, in this world you will have tribulation. It's part of life. Paul tells us today, three tips to triumph over tribulation and over suffering. Sermon I've entitled, Getting a Grip on Suffering. First truth is this. Verse 16, suffering brings about strength or renewal in our life. Look at verse 16. For which cause we faint not. Have you ever got overloaded? Have you ever, have you ever been in a situation where you just wanted to throw up your hands and say, I quit. Enough. I can't handle it anymore. That's what he's saying. For which cause we faint not. Though the outward man perish, he's referring to our body. He, in verse 7, he called it our earthen vessel. He says, look at the last part. Outward man perish, the inward man is renewed day by day. So he endured suffering and didn't lose heart, even though his body, his outward man, was falling apart by age and by persecution. He said, I'm not falling apart. I'm not giving up because I'm focusing on the spiritual realm more than the physical realm. His outer man was decaying and falling apart. But his inward man was getting stronger and more vibrant. Paul was old before his time. You look at all he went through. They're going to put it on the screen. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 24. Of the Jews, five times received I 39 stripes. Five times beaten. Verse 25. Three times, thrice was I beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Three times I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I've been in the deep. He'd been through sickness. He'd been through suffering, and he had been through sorrow. And look what he says, the last part of verse 16. Outward man perishes. The inward man, the heart, the soul that is going to live forever, the inward man is renewed. It's restored. It's strengthened. It's remade. As his outward man is suffering and in difficulty and in pain, his inward man is getting stronger and healthier and more alive. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16, Paul prayed this for the Ephesians. That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. One's physical eyesight may not be what it used to be, but spiritually, you can see things clearer than you've ever seen them. That's what he's saying. One's hearing may not be as good as it used to be. If I ever am looking at you and you're talking to me and I turn my head that towards you, it's because I can't hear that well. And if I get my ear in front of you, maybe I can hear you better. Hey, your hearing may not be as good as it used to be, but you hear from God better than you've ever heard him. That's what he's saying. You may not be able to walk or to run as far as you used to could, if that's a word. But you're walking with God better than you ever have. That's what he's saying. My old body, my old earth suit, it's getting old and it's falling apart. Can I get a witness in here? You're getting old and you feel the pain. Come on, anybody in here? We worked cows yesterday, and I don't know what I did to my knee, but that's why I'm not jumping around, because I did something, and it hurts. And I took a lot of drugs before I came out here just to deal with the pain. An antique violin. It looks worn. It's got scratches on it. The varnish is fading. To the eye, that thing looks old, and it looks beat up. But you let the master musician pick it up, start playing. The tone is richer. It's deeper than those brand new violins. No. It's been broken in, and it has more resonance than some of the new. That's what he's saying. I'm getting old. Suffering has been hard on me, but spiritually, I'm hearing God better. Spiritually, I can see clearly the big picture better than I ever have. Number one, suffering. It brings renewal. It brings strength, is what he's saying. Secondly, suffering brings reward. Look at verse 17. If you write in your Bible, circle this next few words. For our light affliction. Paul, it's light. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, works for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Not only did Paul's physical suffering make him spiritually strong, it also gave him a greater reward in heaven. His troubles, rather than harming him and hurting him, they gave him a greater reward in heaven. So he's saying, man, 5 times I was beaten, 39 times, and it hurt. My bones still ache from those lashings that I got. He said, but those lashings that I got, they earned me rewards in heaven. And it's all about your perspective. What are you looking at? That's what he's saying here. He had the correct view. His light affliction is but for a moment. He says, hey, it's light and it's momentary. Hey, now when he was going through it, man, it hurts. It's difficult. It's painful. But the big picture, life's a vapor. Appears for a little while, and then it's gone. Whatever the suffering, whatever the heartache, whatever the trial of affliction you're going through, in light of eternity, which is forever and ever and ever and ever and ever, your affliction, your suffering, your ordeal is light. It's just for a moment. Paul told the Romans in Romans 8:18, I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. I'm not a coppersmith. I'm not one of those guys that works with metals. But I've often wondered, as I've seen it done, they take that raw metal and they heat it up in the fire, and it's hot. And it's molding, and it's shaping that metal, and they're beating it. And if that metal has any kind of feelings, it's screaming, ow, it's hot in here. This is not enjoyable. This is not peaceful. I'm not liking it. Scripture says, it's light in the big scheme of things. It's momentary, and it yields a great reward. When that raw metal comes out as something fine, a beautiful knife or a sword or something magnificent, you say, oh yeah, the fire was worth it. All of the hammering on it was worth it. But you know, you're going through it. You got to have the right focus to see the reward beyond the affliction. The weight of his affliction was unbearable, and it almost killed him. But look what it verse says. It's light affliction. It's but for a moment. It works for a far more exceeding eternal weight of glory. So the weight of glory is a whole lot more valuable than the weight of his affliction. Paul's affliction, in comparison, seems weightless compared to the glory that's coming in heaven. Imagine if we had some old-fashioned scales. You know, you put something on this side and it weighs it down. You put something on this side. Imagine these scales, the old-fashioned scales. On the one side, you put a little feather. So you put this little feather over there. It barely even moves the scales. On the other side, imagine with me, on the other side you put this mountain of gold. literal mountain, Mount McKinley, whatever the mountain is, mountain that's filled with gold. That's what he's saying here. My light affliction is but for a moment, and it produces an eternal weight of glory. Not a glory for 5 years or 10 years or 15 years, eternal weight of glory. So here's my word to you. Going through the fire right now. Going through a time of heartache right now. Going through a time of difficulty right now. Look at the big picture. God has promised while you're going through that, he's going to strengthen you in the inner man. Be encouraged today. In your time of suffering, there's a payday coming. There's a reward coming. Hey, yeah, it seems unbearable right now, but you just keep going on for the Lord, and it's going to yield this incredible weight of glory. Let me give you one more illustration, and we'll move on. I don't know if you had to pay your way through college, but my brother and I had to pay our part of it, and my folks paid their part of it. Well, every time I would go down there to the business office to make that college tuition payment, it hurt. Why am I in here paying to be abused by these teachers? Man, it ain't fair and not right. And I would write that check into my small little checking account, out of my small little checking account, and it hurt. Because I was a tightwad and I didn't like paying the bill. But when you got the diploma, when you got the degree, when you got the job, it was reward for you being faithful, making those tuition payments and doing the schoolwork to get the degree. That's what he's saying. Suffering is real. Suffering is unbearable. Suffering hurts. But in the big scope of things, it's light, it's momentary, it's going to yield a huge weight of glory. So stay faithful, stay consistent, keep doing what you're supposed to do, because glory is coming. Amen? Some of you didn't act like you believed it. Suffering brings reward. Let me give you one more. Suffering brings perspective. Look at verse 18. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary or temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So when you read that, it almost like it doesn't make sense. While we look not at the things that we can see. We look at what you can't see. How are you supposed to look at what you can't see? It's talking about focus. Don't focus on what you can see. Focus your energy and your perspective on the things which you cannot see. Paul understood the secret to enduring difficulty is your perspective. It's your focus. We live in a transitional life. What we see now is all going to disappear. What we can't see now will all appear and will be for us. Our gaze is not to be riveted on the things that are seen. Everything that you can see and everything that you can touch is temporary. 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 Everything that you can see is temporary. The things that you can't see, your soul, is eternal. Writer of Hebrews put it like this. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed or surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses,
Let us lay aside every weight and sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run the race with patience that is set before us. Look at verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Look what it says in the next phrase. Who for the joy that was set before him. Joy that was set before him. Endured the cross, despising the shame, is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. So he's saying, hey, how did Jesus get through the cross? He wasn't focused on the pain. He wasn't focused on the suffering. He was focused on the joy that was set before him. You spending eternity with him in heaven. That's how he did that. Back to Paul, excuse me, verse 18. Here's a man who was living in the physical, but his focus was on the spiritual. Here's a man, Paul. He was still among the earthly, but his focus and his outlook was on the heavenly. Here's a man, Paul. Although still among the temporal, he was living for the eternal. He said, all right, Pastor, bottom line, how do I make suffering my favorite teacher? It's all on your focus, and it's all on your perspective. You say, yeah, but this is wrong in my life, and this hurts in my life, and this is painful in my life. It's temporary. It's just for a moment. You focus your life not on the temporary. My aches, my pains, my injustices. To make suffering your friend, you realize it's giving me a greater reward for all of eternity. Paul said this, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. As it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for those that love him. Everything we see and touch is temporary. Every possession you have, your car, your whatever it is, every possession you have is temporary. The farthest star away, you can see it, is temporary. The unseen is that which is eternal. God. The souls of men and women. The tragedy of our day is this. We live for the temporal, what we can see and touch. And we're not living for the eternal. God and his things, the eternal. Paul focused his life on the unseen. So therefore, if he was lashed 39 times, it didn't wreck his world. Because he's not living for the temporary. He's living for the eternal. He's like, woohoo, I just got more rewards. You say, yeah, but they're not treating me right at work. Okay, don't live for the temporary, live for the eternal. Let me rewind my life back 20 years ago. Financial planner. When I was helping people manage their finances, my favorite group to get in front of was college kids. Just coming out of college, 21, 22, 23 years old, and no money. They got a job, so for the first time in their life, they got a little bit of income coming in. And I would sit in, and sometimes 22 and 23 and 24-year-olds, they have Jell-O in their head. Forgive me for saying that. Sometimes they're not thinking about saving. They're thinking about blowing and spending. Hey, I'm going to go buy a car, and I'm going to go buy a motorcycle, and I'm going to go buy a gun. And I'm like, no. And my job was to convince them to save. And they didn't want to hear what I had to say. But I would just go on and on and on. Regular contributions at 21 and at 22 and at 23 and at 24. You're eventually going to be 64. And if you will just make your regular contributions in a good mutual fund, if you'll just make those regular contributions, when you get to be 64, you're going to come and look me up. Because you're going to say, that Neil Jackson told me what was true, and now I'm reaping for all of those regular contributions. But listen, at 22, most of them blew me off. They wanted a gun. They wanted a fancy hot rod car. Now some of them are in their 50s. Some of them are in their close to 60s. They're saying, man, I wish I'd have listened to you. That's what this verse is saying. Suffering is just part of life. Keep making contributions. Keep building your life spiritually. Stay in the Word. Keep talking to the Lord. That's what he's talking about. You just keep doing that. And there's going to get, but it hurts. It's not fair. It's not right. Suffering is a reality. But suffering brings you rewards. If you have the proper perspective, and God is going to give you strength to deal with it. One more, and I'll be done. You know what the difference between a magnifying glass is and a telescope? You're supposed to shake your head. Yeah, I know the difference. There you go. There's a picture of the two. Magnifying glass makes small things look big. The bugs. The splinters. Ever got a splinter in your finger? Ugh. Magnifying glass, it has a purpose. It makes small things look big. The hurts of life. If you put a magnifying glass on the hurts of life, you're going to make the hurts of life look big. The injustices of life. You put a magnifying glass on that and say, I mean, it's just not fair. Nobody loves me. Everybody hates me. Guess I'll go eat worms, big fat worms. Little. That's what a magnifying glass does for little things. Makes little things look big. Telescope reveals distant galaxies. The beauty. The perspective. When we live by a magnifying glass, troubles dominate us. Man, you just walk around. Oh, you know what happened to me? It's just bad, bad, bad. Magnifying glass. Oh, it's not fair. Magnifying glass. Oh, everybody's it. Magnifying glass. Or you can say, get rid of the magnifying glass. Bring me that telescope. When we live by the telescope of faith, the eternal glory dwarfs, minimizes the temporary suffering. Here's my challenge. I don't know what's happening in 2026. I don't know what's happening tomorrow. But you're going to face suffering. And when it comes, your perspective will determine how you handle that suffering. Are you going to magnify it? Not fair. Not right. It hurts. Or are you going to pull out the telescope? Get you a hanky. Woo! This pain. Not talking about your coworker. This ache. This injustice. Is giving me an eternal weight of glory. So God, I'm going to lean upon you. God, I'm going to depend upon your word. What's just written for somebody, it was written for me, and I'm living by it, and I'm abiding by it. Could be the greatest year ever, and it could be the worst year ever. It's how you view those things that God allows to come into your life.